Well, good morning. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, as we get started this morning and mindful of your hand on all things, as we see the days getting really long now, with next Saturday being the longest day of the year, at least as far as Saturday goes. And instead of coming here in the dark now, the sun's already been up a little bit, and so not quite so early in the morning in the summer as it is in the winter, it seems like. But here we are, bowing down before you and just aware of your presence and aware of your exhortation for us to come boldly to the throne of grace in order to obtain mercy in time of need. And so, Lord, we want to cry out in prayer this morning for those things you'll put on our hearts. And we want to begin by looking at another prayer in the Bible, and we can learn so much from these. So guide us now, and anyone on their way, bring them here at your timing, in Jesus' name. And thank you for Joseph, and be with him as he has to leave pretty soon to go to work, but a good way to start here for a few moments this morning, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, let's just sing, "Change My Heart, O God, Make It Ever True."
Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you. Potter, I am the clay. Mold me and shape me. This is what I pray. Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you.
Yes. Well, this morning we're in 2 Chronicles again, and this time we'll be talking about a grandson of Solomon, actually great-grandson, I guess, a king by the name of Asa, or Asa, as English pronunciation often is. By the way, in the Hebrew, there's no long A as A, so every time we say something like A, it's not really right, but when we go for Asa, you know, people look at it and say, oh, it's Asa. Well, anyway, whatever you want to call it, Asa or Asa. He was a good king. Generally, hello, yo. He was a good king, but he didn't finish very well. We see his prayer, though, here in verse 11. We want to look at this in a little bit of detail and then put it into context. Verse 11 of 2 Chronicles 14, and Asa cried out to the Lord, his God, and said, Lord, it is nothing for you to help, whether with many or with those who have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on you, and in your name we go against this multitude, O Lord. You are our God. Do not let man prevail against you. And I was just thinking, even though this prayer was, probably 3,000 years ago, approximately, a little less than that, it still fits today. It's not an army necessarily invading us today, but we have so much evil coming in against the Lord, don't we? So I think this prayer fits us as well. But the context of this prayer is that we had, as you know, Solomon turning away from the Lord and his many, many wives and doing all the wrong things. But the Lord didn't divide the kingdom until his death. But he divided the kingdom at his death. And Jeroboam was the guy that ended up building the golden calves and reigned in the north in the eight tribes of Israel. And Rehoboam, Solomon's son, reigned in the southern two tribes of Judah and Benjamin. Well, Rehoboam wasn't the best king in the world. He had a bunch of wives, and we see like father, like son right on down through here. And then his son, Abijah, reigns for a number of years. And then his son, Asa, took the throne. And so we start out today with Asa. And what happened in Abishai's reign, the Lord stood by the southern kingdom of Judah against the northern kingdom of Israel, because the northern kingdom of Israel struck the southern kingdom. And God, we read in verse 15 of chapter 13, God struck Jeroboam and all Israel before Abijah and Judah, and 500,000 choice men of Israel were slain. Can you imagine that here in the land of Israel? This early after the kingdom was divided, they kill 500,000, but it's the Lord doing it because of the sin of Jeroboam, and they had turned so far from the Lord. Well, after that, there was about a short period of time, and then Abijah died, and we have Asa, his son. Now, he had 22, Abijah had 14 wives, 22 sons, 16 daughters. But Asa was became king, and there was about a 10-year peace as Asa took over the throne after the Lord had kind of purged out these 500,000 of Israel. And we see that Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God in verse 2. He took down the altars of the foreign gods in the high places. He broke down the sacred pillars. And he commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers. Now, notice this word seek in here, because this is going to be a key word in our study this morning, seeking. He commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to observe the law and the commandments. And so we have this period of rest here of about 10 years. And he builds fortified cities during that rest period. And then we have a test here, I believe, in verse 8, after this particular time, probably around the 11th year or so of his reign. And he had an army now of 300,000 from Judah and 280,000 from Benjamin. So that's almost 600,000 men. That's a huge army, isn't it, really? And then we have this Sudanese today, in those days it was called Ethiopia, King Zerah, came against Israel with an army of 1 million men. Now, that's actually 10,000 units, but it's, you could call it 1 million. We don't know exactly how many, but it's a huge number. And 300 chariots, and they came to Marishah. Marishah is a city just about due west of Hebron, down from Beth Shemesh and down in the southern part there. And they came against Israel, 1 million men. So look at verse 10. Asa went out against him, and they set the troops in battle in the valley of Zephathah at Marishah. And now here, Asa does the right thing because he cries to the Lord. And notice his prayer. He begins, of course, by, it says he cries to the Lord, his God. That's always a good thing when we can call God our God, can't we? Mm-hmm. He cried to the Lord, his God, and he said, Yahweh, our Lord, it is nothing for you to help, whether with many or with those who have no power. That's a beautiful thought, isn't it? And how true that is today. Lord, it's nothing for you to help, whether with many or with those who have no power. So it's not the numbers, really. Here we are this morning, only, what, six of us? But the numbers aren't important, really. It's the Lord. And it's nothing for him to help, whether with many or with those who have no power. And now notice how he stands on the promises of God and puts it again on God, as most of the prayers that are really great prayers in the Bible do. Help us, O Yahweh, our Elohim. Help us, O Lord, our God, for we rest on you. We rest on you. Is that your prayer? Is that my prayer, that we rest on you? It certainly isn't the prayer of the United States right now, is it?
No.
Because we don't rest on the Lord anymore. I don't know the way we really did, but we did more than we do now. We rest on you, and in your name we go against this multitude, O Lord. And that should be your prayer and my prayer, because it's got to be in the name. Now, I think it's even more appropriate for us than it was at this time, because this was under the old covenant. The Messiah had not yet been delivered. And, you know, Jesus taught us, didn't he, to pray in my name, right? So we don't come in our good deeds and all of that, which is his filthy rags. In those days, they kind of did that because they didn't have the name of Jesus. They could come in at that point yet. They hadn't been instructed that, but we have. So we always come in the name of Jesus, don't we? But here, it was in your name, O Yahweh, O Jehovah God, that we go against this multitude. You are our God. And I pray we can say that with our whole heart. You are our God. Do not let man prevail against. Is it us or you? Do not let man prevail against. What should say?
You.
So here is a great prayer. And check yourself on these prayers. Are you praying generally not to let man prevail against the Lord? Or are you prevailing, let not man prevail against me? Now, there are certain times when we do want to pray personally, but more often we need to keep our eyes on Him, right, than on us, because how important are we? Well, we're very important to Him, but in the final and the overall things, we're nothing but a piece of dust. And so if our prayers are always about us, that we haven't really gotten very far off the dying to self yet. We're still so self-centered that we're not really thinking about where we should be, looking at Him. Do not let man prevail against you. So that's a great prayer there. Now look what happened. The Lord strikes the Ethiopians before Asa and Judah, and they fled. And Asa and the people that were with them pursued them to Gerar. You remember Gerar from the Abraham days. So the Ethiopians were overthrown, and they could not recover. They were broken before the Lord and His army. So what a victory here, over 1 million men and 300 chariots. And now notice this last statement, they carried away very much spoil. This is a real indication, I think, of, we read in Romans, what, that for we are more than conquerors, right? And if you start to think what we are more than conquerors really means, it not only means we're going to win the battle, but it means we're going to come out of that battle better than we went into the battle.
Yeah.
And this is a good example of that in terms of spoil, because before the million-man army came in, they didn't have all the spoil that this million-man army brought in. We'll see it again next week when we look at Jehoshaphat's prayer. The same very thing happened. But it's a good object lesson for you and I, because we're more than conquerors. And in our situation, we don't come through trials and difficulties necessarily with more material possessions. We come through them with a greater faith and a stronger position with the Lord. And so we say, thank you, Jesus. We're more than conquerors through Him who loves us. What victory we have in Christ, don't we? So they carried away very much spoil. Maybe soil too, I don't know. But they carried away very much spoil. And now, look, he comes back, and here's this prophet, Azariah, comes to meet him, and he says, hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you are with Him. If you seek, there's that same word again, if you seek Him, He will be found by you. But if you forsake Him, He will forsake you. So ponder on that verse a minute, how it fits you and how it fits me. Are we seeking Him? If we are, He will be found by us. But if we forsake Him, He will forsake us. Now, when Asa heard these words down in verse 8, he took courage and he removed all the abominable items from the land of Judah and Benjamin. I believe these are the ones that he hadn't removed earlier. He restored the altar of the Lord. And then they enter into verse 12, a covenant to what? Seek the Lord. Here's this word again. They enter into a covenant to seek the Lord God of all their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. And you know, we would think today when we went to the polls last Tuesday, oh, if we just had godly leaders, wouldn't this country be wonderful? And in a way, it would be better, but we'll see here that even with this covenant of seeking the Lord, they're going to get in trouble. So it's not man, it's God we need to keep our eyes on. So they enter into this covenant. It says in verse 13, whoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel was to put to death. And he put to death the homosexuals in that land at that time, too, interestingly enough. So they had this great oath, and in verse 15, all Judah rejoices. And look, he even takes care of his grandmother. In verse 16, he removed Maakah. That was Rehoboam's favorite wife. She's actually Asa's grandmother. It says mother here, but grandmother. But she was Queen Mother, and he took her out because she had made an obscene image of Asherah, and so Asa cuts down her obscene image and crushed and burned it by the brook Kidron. So this guy is taking it right into his own home to clean it up, isn't he? Interesting. But the high places were not removed from Israel. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was loyal all his days. Now, that's a general Chronicles account. We will see in the next chapter here, he didn't finish so well because he stopped seeking the Lord. So they had peace now for almost 25 years after this deliverance from this million-man army. And now the test comes again with another war. And so we have Asa, king of Israel, came against Judah and built Ramah. That's just a little bit north of Jerusalem. And look what happens. Instead of Asa praying to the Lord for deliverance, what's he do? He makes a treaty with Syria, with Ben-Hadad, king of Syria. And it looks like it worked. Because when Baasha heard that, he stopped building Ramah and ceased his work. And King Asa took Judah, and they went away, and they carried all the building materials that Israel, king of Israel, had brought down. And so a lot of us would think, aha, this is a good plan I had. This is really good. But was it? No, because at this point, Hanani, the seer, or the prophet, comes to Asa and said, because you relied on the king of Syria and have not relied on the Lord your God, therefore the army of the king of Assyria has escaped your hands. Were the Ethiopians and the Lubim not a huge army with very many chariots? Remember back 25 years when you relied on the Lord? He delivered them into your hand. And now here's this great verse. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro through the whole earth. This is amazing. This just doesn't say through Israel, is it? This includes you and I, Gentiles. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to what? Show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. So keep in mind that verse is heart, loyal hearts. In this you've done foolishly. From now on you shall have wars. And look what here, when the prophet came to him after the victory, he was so excited that he passed this oath and so forth to seek the Lord. Now he doesn't like the prophet criticizing him. So what happens? He's angry with him and he puts him in stocks. He puts this this prophet, this seer, in prison. He was enraged with him. And Asa oppressed some of the people at that time. So see how he's turned. He did really well when the real crisis was on him. But now he has another army. It's not a million man. It's Israel's army coming against him. And so I can take care of this myself. I'll just go make this treaty with Syria. And then he still doesn't, so now he's now said, hey, you're going to be oppressed from now on because you didn't seek the Lord, is what the prophet tells him. And a few years later, in the 39th year of his reign, he became diseased in his feet. And listen to this. His malady was severe, yet in his disease he did not seek the Lord, but the doctors, but the physicians. So there's that word seek again. So I think the key for us today is to remember to seek the Lord. And what does it say? He will be with you while you are with him, if you seek him. He will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. And then the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are loyal. So how is your barometer in seeking the Lord? Is it always, most of the time, some of the time, a little of the time? Ask yourself that. We need to seek him, don't we? If we seek him, he will be found. If we forsake him, he will forsake us. And secondly, how loyal is our heart? How loyal is your heart to the Lord? For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro to show himself strong on behalf. He shows himself strong on behalf of us. Isn't that wonderful? We see, of course, Jesus ever living to make intercession for us in Hebrews 7:25. In Romans in the 8th chapter, he said, who also makes intercession for us. Also in Romans 8, we have the Holy Spirit interceding for us. So he shows himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are loyal to him. So are you seeking him, number one? And number two, is your heart loyal to him? And I know it's awfully easy to say, oh yeah, I always seek the Lord. And, oh yeah, my heart is always loyal. Is it? I don't think so. I don't think that I seek Him all the time. I know I don't. And also, my heart's not always loyal to the Lord. So often it's loyal to myself, loyal to my flesh. Father, as we contemplate this passage and we see such a clear indication of You blessing Asa and Judah at the time they were seeking You and relying on You. But when they turned from You and began to rely on themselves, we see that there was the failure. And we see the hearts, our hearts, need to be loyal to You. And give us that heart of loyalty, Lord, and dying to self and alive in Your Spirit. And so, Lord, we thank You for this passage, and may we learn from it today. And now guide us as we go into prayer, and may we indeed seek You, and may we follow You, Holy Spirit, as You prompt us to pray this morning in Jesus' name.